Good morning to all of you, and welcome to our Wednesday chapel. Our chapel today will be a little bit different, and we're singing a hymn that was written during the era of the Reformation. Just to ask that, especially today, that you would pay attention to how beautiful the gospel comes through in the four verses of the hymn. We'll sing them throughout the little service today. Let us begin, however, with Luther's morning prayer found on page 167 in the front part of the hymn book, page 167. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. On October 31st, 1517, of course, is the day that we mark of the beginning of the Reformation, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 statements or theses for debate over the subject, regarding the subject of indulgences. The Roman Church had established a special indulgence that you could buy to help get yourself or a loved one out of many years in purgatory. And for a certain price, you could elevate them more quickly to heaven. And Luther sat down and began writing these theses and posted them, and they very quickly began to spread throughout Europe. Nobody had really met him yet, but his name was being easily recognized. His Augustinian order that he belonged to, the monastic monk order of monks, challenged him on this and had a special debate and disputation with him known as the Heidelberg Disputation the next year, 1518. And following that, one of Martin Luther's fellow professors at the University of Wittenberg in Germany, where he was teaching, a man by the name of Andreas Karlstadt, started to write letters to one of the top theologians in the Roman Catholic Church. And they started a little letter writing debate, the three of them, Luther, Andreas Karlstadt, and this man named John Eck. And Eck finally invited the theologians, the professors from Wittenberg, to come and have a debate with him and in order to get this out in the open and to settle this. His goal was to kind of put down these upstart punk monks and to show them that they had nothing to say to the church. And so they settled on the city of Leipzig. The university at Leipzig was going to be where they would host this debate. And the religion faculty at the University of Leipzig was not in favor of this. Many of them had been reading some of Luther's things and realized he had some valid points, and they were afraid this might cause them to have egg on their face. So when the local governor, the Duke George, who owned the province and was in charge of the university, when he asked them to serve as judges in the debate, they declined because they didn't want to have anything to do with this. And they also didn't want to be the ones that gave Martin Luther such an audience all of a sudden. Now, at this time, Martin Luther still thought of himself as a defender of the Roman Church and thought that he was helping to defend their teachings and so on. And this debate became a very big deal. 200 students from the Wittenberg University campus traveled with Luther and Karlstadt and others. Their whole faculty came for a 2-week-long debate. Imagine that. Imagine if everybody here today and all of our profs for 2 weeks went to another campus for a long debate. So it was quite a series of debates. And some people that looked at it years later said it was kind of like the Rose Bowl. It was such a huge, huge event. And even before the debate got started, there were some fights that broke out among students out in the streets of Leipzig. And I'm sure there was plenty of good German beer being drunk as well. So that's the setting for this great debate that took place. And we'll talk a little bit more about the hymn that we're singing today. Let's now join in singing verse 3, and once again notice the beautiful gospel that is worked through that hymn. Just to hear some of the main points in the debate, first of all, from Dr. Johann Eck's position defending the Roman Church, and just some of the things that he used in debate against Luther. So he quoted from Scripture and the church fathers to show that the papacy, the pope, was a position established by God as the head of the church. And he also talked about the fact that heretics like John Huss, who had been from Bohemia, today the Czech Republic, he had already tried Luther's line of reasoning. And look what the church did to him. They took and burned him at the stake over 100 years earlier. So he made a point of this, that the church has already dealt with this problem. And he was upset with Luther for using ideas of heretics like Huss and mixing them in with other sayings from the church fathers. And he basically said there's no unity between the devil and the saints. He said also that if Luther is right, there's going to cause chaos in the church. And everybody's going to get to decide for themselves what they believe and what they think is right. And then his point, and this one really stuck with Luther a little bit. How can one lone monk be right and the entire church and all of her history and her councils be wrong? And that one kind of got to Luther. He also said that to Luther, what you are promoting is not merely a reform of our church doctrine, but you are aggressively throwing it away. So those were X primary points. These are some of Luther's counterpoints. Luther countered that Christ, our Lord Jesus, is the only and true head of the church. Any statements from the church fathers, he said, must always be subordinated to what the Bible teaches. Stop running back to the fathers to support everything. Stay with the Bible itself. Make your main point from the scriptures. And by the way, this concept, sola scriptura, the Bible alone for our doctrine, is one of the things that really started to make people in the audience pay attention to Luther. He also said that Jesus' words in Matthew 16 about the use of the keys to forgive sins applies to the whole church. It hasn't been just given to the Pope. He said that even the Pope's own historian, Plantina, admitted that this power of the Pope had been given to the Pope by the Emperor. Greek Christians, the Eastern Christians, Luther said, do not recognize the Pope's authority, and they still have Christian faith. So there has to be some way of getting to heaven through Christ apart from being under the umbrella of the Pope. He also brought up that he said to Eck, can you prove to me that church councils cannot make a mistake? Can you prove that to me from the Bible or even from their own writings? Now, he kept getting charged by Eck as being a Hussite, following the teachings of John Huss. Luther didn't know a lot about Huss. He knew a little bit, but apparently during his breaks and at lunch breaks and things, he would go to the library, just like next door here. And he started actually looking up books by Jan Hus and reading them. And he came back at some point in the debate and said, you've been charging with being a Hussite. He's written a lot of good stuff. We need to pay attention to some of the things that he said. Luther went on to say that I will accept that the Pope is the earthly kind of secular authority over the Western Church, but he is not put there to take the place of Jesus, of Christ. And his final point was always that the scripture must always have supreme authority over all Christians. So these were the two primary edges of the debate, you might say, between Luther and Dr. Eck. It's interesting that Dr. Eck had hired a local school teacher from the St. Thomas Church and School to be the recorder and kind of his secretary for the entire debate, a man by the name of Johann Grammen. And Grammen, as he sat there recording the debate, was so impressed with Luther's arguments that not long after he chose to leave and to go to Wittenberg and to study now to become a pastor and would later get ordained and serve a church in Germany. And he also became such a proponent and supporter of the cause of the Reformation, the gospel, that it's only through Christ alone that we have the hope of heaven, and it's not of our works. He became such a proponent of that he's often attributed to keeping an entire province in Germany with the Reformation. So this Johann Grammen was quite a man. The hymn that we are singing today, if you look at the author at the top, is written by him, Johann Grammen. And he wasn't the only one sort of won over from the faculty there during the debate. And the man who was in charge of their literature department, kind of our Rob Hanna, if you will, he likewise was won over and went to Wittenberg, and they believe one other professor as well. At the end of the debate at Leipzig, Luther was asked if he would ever consider another debate, doing another debate like this. And he responded, "I would only do it if the judge was a little boy who knows the Bible very well." A number of students from the student body at Leipzig likewise transferred their enrollment over to the University of Wittenberg. And within about 10 years, the university at Wittenberg was joined to the cause of the Reformation. In the middle of all of this, of course, is the beautiful gospel, the central truth that is in God's word, that through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ alone, we have the hope of heaven. And salvation has come and comes to us only through him, through word and sacrament. And our Lord reminds us of this sola scriptura principle, that the Bible alone should be where we get our doctrine. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Thanks be to God. Let us rise to sing the last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in his peace. Amen.